This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. For the first time ever, there are more unaffiliated voters registered in North Carolina than Republicans. That's according to recent data from the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Most voters in the state are registered Democrat, even though the party's numbers have declined in the last decade. Meanwhile, the rate of unaffiliated voters has surged in this state. So what's causing the rise in independent voters, and how are they shaping the state's politics? Joining me now are two political scientists who examine voting behaviors. Sunshine Hillegas is a professor at Duke University and studies public opinion and elections. Andrea Benjamin is a professor at UNC Chapel Hill. She studies local elections and Black and Latino voting patterns. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Great to be back.
Thank you for having us.
Also with me, Jason DeBruin, WNC data reporter, who has analyzed a number of registered voters in this state of North Carolina. You actually haven't analyzed them, I don't think, because that would take
the numbers of them.
A lot of time, but you've looked at the numbers. So break it down for us. What have you found?
It's remarkable. I mean, since about 2005, unaffiliated voters have more than doubled. They've grown from about 900,000, roughly, to more than 2 million today. I mean, during that same time, Republican voters, the roles of Republican voters have increased by about 7%. The roles of Democrats increased by just 2%. So just from I'm a data reporter, right? So I just look at these trends, and it's remarkable. Yeah. I mean, you have one group that's literally doubled, grown by 100%, another group grown by 7.5%, and another one grown by 2%. I mean, just the starkness there is just amazing.
Right, and that is interesting, too. The other part of that the growth in Republican registration has far outpaced the growth in Democratic registration.
That's right. And in fact, to drive the point home, the numbers I shared were from 2005. If you look from 2008, the total number of registered Democrats has actually decreased, which is remarkable. I mean, we're in a state that's growing. Since about that time, we've grown by 800,000 people as a state in total. And yet we have 230,000 fewer registered Democrats. I mean, again, from a data reporter standpoint, that's just remarkable to see these numbers like this.
Sunshine Hillegas, what's going on?
So I guess first I would say that we have to be cautious about drawing broad strokes about any given group of voters. So there's going to be some unaffiliated who are disgusted with both parties, and so they're unaffiliated. There's going to be some who are cross-pressured and like things about each of the parties and so can't make a decision. There's going to be some who are new to the state, and so they don't want to pick a side just yet. And then, I mean, there's even the people I know who know that we can, you know, go online and look up somebody's party registration, and so they don't want to publicly, right, choose a side. So there's a lot of different reasons why people choose unaffiliated, and so in terms of drawing any inferences about how they'll behave or what is the reason for it, you know, there's a lot of variability.
And Andrea Benjamin, too, we have to look at where these voters are coming from. As you know, Jason talked about the sheer increase in population. Many of them are new to the state. Others have been born here. We have a generally larger growing population. Is there any value in looking at kind of who those voters are, whether they've come from somewhere else or were born here?
Yeah, I think that's really important, particularly for new immigrants that are choosing to make our state home. I think that they sort of come to partisanship, and first they need to decide, do I want to play politics? And if they say yes, then they pick a team. And sometimes even the second stage is hard. So as Sunshine said, they will stay unaffiliated because they're not sure yet. So I think it is important to think about who those voters are beyond just even age or just that they live here.
And Sunshine, the fact is that we talked about unaffiliated voters, it doesn't mean disengaged voters. I mean, they have taken the step to register as independents, right?
Exactly. And that's the other thing we always have to be a little bit careful about is the distinction between, right, the people who have actually taken the step to register to vote and those who are interested in politics or not, those that are likely voters versus not, right? And depending on the population of interest, you know, it might be better to be able to say something about the attitudes of the entire population, not just those who are registered to vote. And so really, depending on the question we want to answer, right, this might give us the answer or might not.
We've talked about a number of reasons. One might be a pox on both of your houses. Another might be wanting to know more before you commit. A third might be wanting to stay a little bit more anonymous. And Jason, the fourth is the rules of the game here in North Carolina if you're unaffiliated.
Yeah, that's a big one from my perspective is that, so just to back up for people who don't know, if you're registered as a Republican or a Democrat, you may vote only in that party's primary. If you're registered as unaffiliated, you're allowed to choose. In many counties and districts across the state, because of gerrymandering, as you talked about earlier, but other reasons, just, you know, basically self-segregation, many of the elections, sort of the de facto election, is in the primary. So let's say you tend to be a Democrat, but you live in an area that is heavily Republican. Well, if you want to have any kind of a meaningful say in the outcome of that election, you probably need to vote in the Republican primary. So it would behoove you, okay, so you're inclined to be a Democrat, so you definitely don't want to be a Republican. Well, then you choose to be unaffiliated because at least you're allowed to vote in the Republican primary.
Sunshine, in the when these numbers came out, the head of the Republican Party, Dallas Woodhouse, pointed out that, or he suggested that, yeah, there are more independent voters than Republicans, but in fact, based on exit polls, he said, they tend to vote Republican. Is there any way we can find out how these, I mean, apart from exit polls, find out how independent voters are voting these days?
We want to be a little bit cautious about exit polls, but I do think that we want, there is some, I think, suggestion that in some contexts, right, they are more likely to vote in Republican primaries. But the context really matters. So, I mean, think about 2012. If you were really interested in the presidential election, then you're going to choose perhaps to participate in the competitive Republican primary over a Democratic primary where there really wasn't a choice. And so it's difficult to look at these aggregate numbers and draw a lot of conclusions, particularly because not, as you mentioned before, not all of the people who are registered as unaffiliated are in fact independent. Many are closet partisans and vice versa. People who register with a party because they want to participate, say, in local primaries might very well be people who changed their votes across elections or are unstable within elections.
Andrea, you have focused on the voting patterns of Black and Latino voters. Where do they fit? And tell us a little bit more about where we find them among independent voters and what kind of changes we've seen.
Sure. So it is true that at the state and national level, we have seen that African Americans typically vote Democrat, but local elections are actually a place where African Americans are most likely to not vote like a block. It's still pretty high. It's around 75%, but that 25% is really great compared to the 10% or 12% at the national level. And so I think one thing to think about, at least for my work, is in the local context, what partisanship really does is it just provides a useful cue, right? And so it lets us know this is the vision, this is how I expect the candidate that they will act if they're elected. And so I think in the local context, it becomes a situation where we look for other cues. And for Blacks and Latinos, then one cue is other group members, right? And so my previous work really, really considered the way that Blacks and Latinos look to other Blacks and Latinos about who to vote for. And so it could be that as we see, again, for Latinos, particularly if they're immigrants, they might not know what team they want to play for yet. But for African Americans, the route to independence really comes through three potential routes. One is if the race ethnicity, if that identity becomes less salient. The other way is thinking about sort of these alternative ways of thinking about community control. And then finally, we might think about to the extent that Blacks are able to distinguish that one party is actually better for them. If they can't do that, they might register as independent. But still, right, given our two-party system, the reality is that even if you decide you're unaffiliated, you want to call yourself an independent, when you show up at the voting booth, you sort of are left with two choices. And I think, again, here, this is a place where local is interesting because those cues are often not there. And so I think it gives voters and candidates an opportunity to focus a little bit more on the issues. And because we're searching for other cues. And so then without the D and the R next to people's names, you sort of
have
to do that.
Has that always been true? Because it does seem intuitively you would think that perhaps party affiliation means less at the local level. And again, this would be an intuition that because I'm more intimate with the issues here and the candidates, I really know them perhaps personally a little better and the issues are more palpable, that the big kind of huge issues that separate the two parties mean less at the local level.
I think that there are ways in which that is true. I mean, so in some work I did running an exit poll, which we know the limitations of, in 2015 here in Durham, we did put partisanship in every model, but it didn't do a good job. Partially that's because we're heavily Democratic here. There's still some Republicans in the city of Durham, but it's heavily Democratic. And I think that that's evident in the fact that even though we're currently in a municipal election, no one here is talking about partisanship of the candidates. We're really focused on issues and this notion of what does it mean to live in a progressive city, and contrast that with Raleigh just across the way, where they have, you know, McFarlane is unaffiliated. She's registered unaffiliated. And so this, for the first time, I think that she's ran, she's facing a Democrat and a Republican. And so their context is people are talking about partisanship, even though, it's a nonpartisan election, but we can just go look up everyone's affiliation. So the fact that it's even entered their campaign context is really different. So I think it is contextual. Still, though, right? I mean, even in local elections, people know what team you play for.
But what about this? Let me ask you this question, Sunshine. The fact that we're seeing more people, particularly among millennials, when we see the number of independents there compared to other generations, there the idea that party affiliation and the parties have failed us both seems to be a little stronger. So what do we make of this? I mean, are people putting more credence in or less credence on party affiliation, or are we at a threshold at the moment?
There's two different ways that this plays out. One is people are disgusted with both sides. They know they're going to have to make a choice between both sides, so they still behave in partisan ways, but they don't want to declare an allegiance because they are, in fact, you know, disgusted with the state of politics. They also might not like to declare it, right, because of the social repercussions that might come from being a Republican in Durham or in a rural area outing yourself as a Democrat. And so both of those things are in play. And so we see that in surveys, for instance, where, you know, depending on what your neighbors, you know, their affiliation might be, you might be more reluctant to declare yourself on one team or the other, even though at the end of the day you go into the voting booth and you are casting a ballot in a way that looks very much like a partisan.
Well, Jason, can you?
I have sort of a simple thought. You know, an object in motion tends to stay in motion. If you are just turning 18, you have a choice. Am I going to choose R, D, U, or L? And so you're sort of actively having to make that choice no matter what. Well, if you've already made that choice, then you go into, you know, vote or whatever, just sort of, okay, well, I'll just stay with what I had. Maybe that's too simplistic, but I think that's actually part of the factor here is that we see the older generations tend to choose one side or the over the other, while the younger generations tend to be more unaffiliated. And I think it's just because people had been affiliated, so what the heck, why not just stay affiliated?
What are the numbers? What do you know about racial breakdowns and generational breakdowns in terms of now affiliating, identifying as independent?
I mean, it's absolutely – and actually, let me say something else. It doesn't necessarily mean independent. Unaffiliated and independent don't necessarily mean the same thing. As we've said a couple times today, unaffiliated voters do very much tend to still vote with one block or the other, even if they try to pretend like they're more open-minded or whatever. They aren't necessarily always so open-minded. So the millennials tend to be the higher percentage of people, the block with the highest percentage of unaffiliateds. As you go into Gen X, baby boomers, and then the greatest generation, it just gets smaller and smaller. The racial divide, as one might expect, is sort of similar. Whites tend to be more Republicans, while minorities tend to be more unaffiliated.
Well, let's talk about this disenchantment factor to the extent that some of the unaffiliated voters are those who just can't take any part in either party. I mean, you think about yesterday, you know, Representative Tim Murphy, Pennsylvania, right? Here's an outspoken opponent of abortion who we find out has been encouraging his mistress, not his wife, his mistress, to have an abortion. This is just the kind of hypocrisy that makes people, you know, exceptionally cynical. It's all about power. It's never about the issues. To what extent do we know how big a factor this kind of cynicism is? It's a two-part question. And B, if you register independent, but you're stuck with two parties, is there a hope on the part of the independent that they can somehow influence the system and either stock the parties with better candidates, or better yet, come up with a more robust selection process?
That's a nice hopeful thought about people's perception and feelings of efficacy. I think that it is the case, right, that people, even if they are ultimately having to cast a ballot for the D or R, that they don't necessarily want to sign on for, you know, everything that comes along with declaring yourself, you know, in the state records to be affiliated with one or the other. So there is no doubt that disenchantment and disillusionment with the political parties is part of the explanation for unaffiliated, and that's very much why young people in particular, I mean, that's part of the explanation for why young people are registering as unaffiliated at such a high rate. And what we then have to ask is, these are people who still nonetheless feel a civic duty to register, but they might not be as likely to actually get out to vote. And if they're feeling disenchantment and less likely to vote, what about the people who have not actually taken the step to, in fact, even register registered as unaffiliated?
And one other problem, data shows that unaffiliated voters are actually less likely overall to vote in primaries at all. And what that unfortunately has the effect of doing is just having the fringe voters play a bigger role in those primary elections. So you're actually driving a wedge even further between the two parties. Of course, then unaffiliated voters become even more disenfranchised. So it's a problem that sort of builds on itself. And that's, you know, that's difficult to do anything about except for really to encourage unaffiliated voters at least choose a primary and go vote in it. Yeah. You know, make an informed choice. Doesn't even matter which one, but just choose one of them.
Yeah, and I think to the extent that really issues drive sort of this opting in to unaffiliate, I think that's really important, right? So there's a subset of issues that neither party is really talking about. Maybe it's women's rights and even or the environment. And even though people think, oh, that belongs to this party, this umbrella, when you look into it, it's not as extreme as some people want it to be. And so these sort of outside views, sort of outside the normal partisan lens, I think that that's a place. And so that people sort of arrive at this unaffiliated designation, that they want the parties to say something stronger about a particular set of issues. And until they see that, they might remain disenchanted and they might not participate.
Well, that gets into the subtle and the split mind, and not even split, but the more subtle mind of the voter that we tend to, frankly, obliterate in our discussion. But in Sunshine, you pointed to it. If you take a look at, and I think the distinction between how people vote in local elections and national elections points to this. How important is party affiliation? I mean, I think back to the election in this state when voters of the state of North Carolina elected Jesse Helms as their senator and Jim Hunt as their governor. And they had to be the same voters. And so somehow that was, you know, that animates their decision more than party affiliation. And to what extent can we learn from about the subtlety of the voter's mind in looking at distinctions in local and national or local and state elections?
Well, I'm trying to work on that right now. I think maybe you heard that I'm running a online primary exit poll right now, which you can find information about at Durham Votes 2017 on Facebook and Twitter. But on Election Day, my students are actually going to help me collect exit poll data at the polls. And this is part of what we're going to try to figure out, especially in this context, given the diversity of the candidates that we have this time, to really figure out how do people see themselves in terms of these labels around party. But as I mentioned, Durham really does call itself progressive. And so we are actually trying to tap and measure what does that mean and how does that translate into vote choice, especially in this context. And so we hope that people will help us out with that data collection. So maybe we can come back and share that answer.
And Sunshine, if we in the media are a little blunderbuss in how we talk about voters, it looks like the parties are about as inept, given the last voting cycle and how surprised they were with all of these choices. Are they taking notes? Are they looking at Jason's figures here and saying, how do we get these voters and what do they do?
I mean, absolutely. The voter registration file is the cornerstone of their strategic decision making. And so the unaffiliated voters actually, you know, they're not going to just treat them as entirely unaffiliated. They're going to look at other information. Did they vote in a Republican primary or a Democratic primary? Do they make donations to a Republican set of candidates or Democratic candidates? They will buy thousands of pieces of information to try and make an estimate about how likely they are to, in fact, be closet partisans. At the same time, you know, having actual affiliation with a party is the best piece of information that you could have. And so there's been research that suggests that you know, they make more strategic errors when they have unaffiliated voters. They're more likely to send them a message that actually, you know, they might disagree with. And so, you know, in some ways, we don't necessarily consider that a bad thing, right? Keep the candidates on their toes. Keep them appealing.
You were going to say honest, but then you had a second thought. I said, well, it's
and keep them appealing towards, you know, the unaffiliated voters will, I think, help. I mean, as you alluded to, right, we know from comparing across states that, you know, when you have more independents or unaffiliated voters participating in the primaries, it helps to moderate the candidates. We know from looking seen across time that as unaffiliated voters have fallen out of the electorate, that we have seen greater polarization. So it's not necessarily ultimately a bad thing.
Sunshine Hillegas and Andrea Benjamin. Sunshine's a professor at Duke University, Andrea professor at UNC Chapel Hill. Also with us, data reporter Jason DeBruin, and you can find links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Magnolia Collective. Stay tuned.